Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 114. Pascal Marchand, you are running for city councillor in Ward 4. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Joey.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
A bit about myself. I was originally born in Quebec, but I have lived in Hamilton since 1990, and I've been living in the east end of Hamilton since then. I went to Georges Pévenier in the west end of the city. I've been involved in the city since who knows when, I was younger. I used to lifeguard for the city of Hamilton. That's how I got to develop the community. I played soccer in the city of Hamilton in the east end. That's how I grew up. I grew up in French in Hamilton, which is pretty interesting way of living, because we are technically considered a francophone city in Ontario, but access to services is not necessarily as prevalent as it would be for anglophones. But I have managed to retain my language while living in Hamilton this whole time.
Why are you running?
I'm running because, well, first, I am passionate about politics. I love it. But also because of my personal lived experience and the lived experience of people around me, it has driven me to run for politics. I believe in the social determinants of health, and I think that these can be addressed at the municipal level. We're talking things like income, good jobs, the environment, a healthy neighborhood, which is all part of my platform. And then, as I've spoken very openly about it, my brother's experience living in Hamilton while dealing with mental health and then eventually homelessness, it really extra drove the point home as to how we need to address some of these issues in the city of Hamilton.
Do you live in Ward 4, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
I believe it does, but it also depends on your definition of what living means, because there is such a thing as having a home or your apartment in the ward. That's one thing, but you also need to engage in the community around you. Where is your dentist? Where is your bank? Where is your park? Where's your favorite cafe? That also impacts the definition of living.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I have been a member of this community for a very long time. I've been an active participant in my community. It starts from the grassroots, just knowing all of my neighbors up the street, down the street. I know the names of the dogs that walk past my house. Just this morning, I think I waved to at least 7 different people as they drove past my house. But it's also the organizations that I'm a part of. I'm on the board of directors for Hamilton Bike Share, where I was one of the team. A lot of this is team. It's hard to take credit for everything when you're part of a team, but everyone's contribution does make a difference. So what I mean by that is that with Hamilton Bike Share, I worked to make sure that we kept Bike Share when Uber canceled their contract very suddenly. I was a part of that team. I made that happen. We made sure that the funds were ready to go so that we could have a quick transition within a month. I'm also on the French Language Services Advisory Committee for the Hamilton Community Legal Clinic. So for that, I ensure that the Francophone community has access to legal services in the city, especially if these Francophones are experiencing a low income, making sure that they still have access to that to deal with housing issues, to deal with employment issues, or even just a traffic ticket. I'm also on the Women and Gender Advisory Committee for the City of Hamilton. And we've only had 2 meetings so far, but already since the get-go, I already brought forward the issue of housing and how women and transgender folks and also non-binary folks are more likely to experience low income or poverty, and how important it is to ensure that they have access to affordable housing in the city, especially along the future LRT corridor. So I did that within our first official meeting. So I am a part of this community. I've done a lot in this community, and I think it's time to just take it a step up and see if we can change any of the policies and procedures at the municipal level.
What are 2 of your priorities for Ward 4 and 2 of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
One of my priorities for Ward 4 specifically, part of my platform is healthy neighborhoods. So that's ensuring that the space that you're living in, it helps you live in a space that allows you to just move your body and breathe and be happy and wellness. And so what I mean by that is, for example, the pipeline trail, which cuts across the entirety of Ward 4. It needs some serious investment in terms of making sure that it is safe. So we're talking bump outs to connect the trail across and give priority to the pedestrians and the cyclists as they get across, instead of just trying to go down someone else's driveway to then go across the street and then find someone else's driveway to get back onto the sidewalk to then get back onto the trail. It might sound simple, but it is one way of connecting the community. Another thing that I really want to focus on in Ward 4 is the 15-minute city concept. So that's ensuring that everything within that neighborhood is accessible and available within 15 minutes walking or cycling. So the area around Kenilworth is prime for revitalization. We could definitely make that happen in the Kenilworth neighborhood because there are so many homes in the area. And the stretch along Kenilworth Street North, it could really use a little bit of revitalization, more businesses, more services, more greenery. So that's for Ward 4. As for the city as a whole, part of my platform is about good jobs and housing for all. So in terms of good jobs, that's ensuring that there are good jobs available in the city of Hamilton, jobs that pay you a decent wage that allows you to continue living in the city that you grew up in so that you're not displaced. And the city can do that based on the types of contracts that they get from different contractors for the different projects within the city. But the city can also do that by leading by example within their own, because they are one of the top employers in the city of Hamilton. In terms of housing, well, we all know we're in a housing crisis right now. So housing for all is definitely something that needs to be looked after in the city of Hamilton to make sure that the people who live here can continue to live here, and that the people who are experiencing homelessness or that precarious housing where they just might not be able to make ends meet for the next month's rent, that they are finding ways to keep a roof over everyone's head.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 4 on Hamilton City Council?
My top skill is definitely going to be collaborative consensus building. That's something that I have tremendous experience in because of the work that I've done working with the union and the employer to come up with solutions to improve people's health and safety in the workplace. That's my biggest asset. And I think that's definitely needed at City Council right now to be able to have that good conversation. Something else that I'll be able to bring is my patience and my empathy, because I have a huge heart, and my heart and my empathy is definitely what is driving me to run for City Council in the first place. I want to try and do the best I can to help people's lives. And that's where that comes from. And then something that's also very important in Ward 4 is my openness and my willingness to listen to the constituents and to the people in this ward. Just walking through Gage Park, I usually end up having a chat with residents and they'll tell me their life story, but you have to be willing and open to listen to those conversations.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
What happened with Coots Paradise was very frustrating. As an environmentalist, what happened, I couldn't believe that the city had let it go for so long. But that's also been seen in other issues such as the Red Hill Valley Expressway and the inquiry. Now, in terms of what would I do, I have a lot of experience where an entity that holds the power does not want to release all the information for fear of reprisal. But at the same time, if you don't have that information, how can you hold people accountable? That being said, city councillors are stewards of the city. They act in a role to try and provide the strategy for the city. We are accountable to the residents. So all that said, certain information does need to be released, but there are ways to release information and to possibly de-identify it so that we're not putting someone on the cross to get in trouble. You can learn from your mistakes, but in order to do that, you need to have access to the information. And the citizens also need to be able to hold us accountable as municipal councillors. What I'm trying to say here is that you can release the information so that everyone understands what happened, but you can do it in a very sensitive way that allows you to learn from it and to make sure it doesn't happen again. I actually did that for my employer. I got them to finally release documents that they had been saying they would never release for 10 years. And 10 years, they said never, never, never. And then Pascal showed up. And now we have access to those reports. So now, in my former position as in health and safety, I was able to see the trends and to track it and to see, okay, well, have you noticed that this is happening? And then to hold the employer accountable. I have done that. So I don't see how it would be any different if I got into city council.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
So I've actually been on the Red Hill Valley Expressway when someone spun out of control. And I remember pulling over on the side of the road and trying to provide first aid and just making sure everything was safe. And no one on the side of the road could figure out what had happened to this car because it did just zoink and it just slipped and it lost control. In hindsight, now I know that it's because the conditions and the roads were slippery. So I'm very happy that this information is finally coming out, but it shouldn't have been so difficult. It shouldn't have been pulling teeth to get that information out. So I'm looking forward to seeing what is in that report and what the recommendations are. Because again, it goes back to evaluating, reviewing, and seeing like how can we prevent this from happening again? Because as we were just talking about the transparency, this is another example of how we try to avoid transparency and accountability. But it's very important that as city councilors, you are accountable to the residents. I'm looking forward to reading the report and seeing what the recommendations are and seeing how we can implement them in the city to make sure this doesn't happen again.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
As someone who uses public transportation to get around the city, I am looking forward to the light rail transit route. But it needs to be done properly, it needs to be organized, and it needs to be planned ahead. As a cyclist, I know that when they ripped up Cannon Street and they redid Cannon Street, there were no detours available for the cyclists, and we were left to fend for ourselves to figure out how to get across the city. So that can't happen for the whole stretch of the LRT. We need to have very clear detours, and we need to ensure that the streets that people will be taking their detours through are ready to handle that load of traffic. As a resident, when they ripped up Lock Street, a lot of the businesses were affected. So we need to ensure that when we do that section of the LRT, as we progress, that we ensure that we take care of our own small businesses because they are the heart of our community. So we need to ensure that they have the resources available to keep them in business and to get through, because that's going to be a big band-aid to rip off. And we need to make sure that they're taken care of. And then throughout the entire process, we also need to ensure that it's safe for the pedestrians and for the cyclists to get around, and people using mobility devices that they're able to actually get around, because usually with construction, there's a lot of debris. There are sidewalks that are not level, or there's gaps in the pavement. We need to ensure that it's done as safely as possible so people can still move around.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 4 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
I want to keep it a hidden secret. Can I keep it a hidden secret? I love Ward 4. My favorite part of Ward 4 are the sneaky Bruce trails in the back of the escarpment that you have to know where their trailheads are because they're not that well indicated, especially along Kimberly Drive. That's what's special about. But that's also special for a lot of Hamilton. But it's just finding those sneaky little routes.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 4 which remain under the 1952 former City of Hamilton residential zoning bylaw. What is your vision for residential zoning in Ward 4.
It's always important to review policies, and especially, as you say, it was from the 1950s. So the situation in the city of Hamilton in the 1950s until now is completely different. And so it's always good to review and ensure that they're still applicable and to adapt them to our current situation. It all comes back to the housing and housing for all. Right now we're in a housing crisis. Rents are going up and the baby boomers are getting older. My stepdad, for example, is 70, and now I'm looking to bring him into my home. And I'm sure that my experience is not much different than a lot of other people, but that intergenerational living is going to become more and more common as we progress through increased rents and an aging population. But the zoning in my neighborhood does not necessarily account for intergenerational housing that would allow for a unit for my dad to live in my home while maintaining his dignity and his privacy. So yes, we do need to review our zoning to allow for intergenerational housing for families.
There are active planning applications within Ward 4 with differing views regarding if they represent appropriate intensification or not. Secondary dwelling units and the proposed redevelopment of the Delta Secondary School property are two examples of this. How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
You mentioned the former Delta High School. There's also the former Rock University. That land's also been up as a potential space to provide additional housing. And we need additional housing stock. There's no way around that. And I do believe that it is very responsible from a city council to try and intensify housing within the city as opposed to sprawl. Because I don't believe we should be sprawling. We need that land, and we're very fortunate in the city of Hamilton to have such fabulous land that can grow such healthy crops. One way to deal with that is to ensure that we approach developers and we tell them what our asks and what our wants are very early in the process so that they can incorporate it into their proposals so that there's a little bit of less of that back and forth. Because once it's on paper, it makes it a little bit more difficult to get them to change. So it's important to approach them early in the process, tell them what our asks are, tell them what our wants are, tell them what are the negotiables, what are the non-negotiables, so that we can speed up the process, because we do need to speed up the process.
There are four LRT stops planned within Ward 4. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for the major transit areas and how will you implement that vision?
Well, this goes back to what I suggested at the Women and Gender Equity Advisory Committee about inclusionary zoning within the LRT route. So we're talking, when we say inclusionary zoning, what does that even mean? Well, it means that you need to set aside a certain percentage of the housing stock to people who are lower income. And I'm also hoping that we can also set aside some affordable housing for people who need accessible units, because there are very few accessible housing units in the city, even though a third of our population requires accessibility to get around and to live in. Ensuring that we have homes that are high density near the LRT is definitely on the docket, but also ensuring that we have the space that is accessible at ground level for small businesses so that you can have that 15-minute city and you can have access to food or your hair salon or your bank or your dog groomer, whatever it is that you need, that you have access to it very close.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 4. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
So this falls within the healthy neighborhoods part of what I stand for. And as you know, I'm a big cyclist, so I have lived the dangerous driving on the receiving end as a cyclist. It's very important for people to be able to move their bodies safely across the city. That's how we stay healthy. That's how we stay fit. And it's just an easy way to just keep the blood pumping and just keep our bodies moving. In Ward 4, there's Lawrence Road. There's no sidewalk right now. There are painted lanes that show that there would be a bicycle lane, but that's it. And the city has had a plan for that stretch between Gage until Kenilworth to make it a complete street. They have the plan. It's ready to go. It just hasn't been implemented. So it's just having that political will to finally make it happen. And now we know how to make complete streets. So let's just do it. In terms of connectivity, because things are not necessarily in silos within the ward, there is no safe way to get from Ward 4 to Ward 5 if you're not in a car or in a bus. How do you cross Queenston? How do you cross King? How do you cross Barton? If you're in a bicycle, according to the law, you're supposed to be on the road. But on those stretches, the lanes are very narrow or they're very wide and people drive very fast. So we need to make sure that there is some safe barrier for people to cross the Red Hill Creek. And then a third is that in my stretch of Ward 4, so I'm more on to the wards the west of Kenilworth, people will speed through to try and connect through the lights because you have to connect through the lights at a certain speed to get across without hitting a red light. So ensuring that we can stage the lights to slow down traffic a little bit, because right now it's set so that if you're doing 55 kilometers an hour, you'll be able to get through without having to step on the brakes. But in order to actually have safer roads, it should be closer to 50 at the very maximum. So ensuring that we stage our lights, and that should also help a little bit.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. There isn't even 10,000 hours between the election and being sworn in. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading will you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I wish there were 10,000 hours, but obviously there isn't. And if anyone actually had 10,000 hours to get trained in any position, I think that life would be a lot easier. But I already do this. So even in just the conversations that I've been having, I've been purposely reaching out to different leaders within the community to get their personal lived experience, but also getting their personal expertise, because I'm not an expert on everything. I have a critical mind, but I can't know everything, and I have never expected myself to know everything. But I do go out there, and I do purposely try to do the workshops, read the readings, talk to the people, and that's definitely something that I'll be continuing on doing. For example, I wanted to learn more about the industry to the north because Ward 4 is predominantly ArcelorMittal. So I went and I joined StackWatch so that Environment Hamilton to teach me what to look for. I wanted to learn more about how to be a woman in politics. So I joined the YWCA's Reaching for Power. This June, I also joined the Canadian Public Health Association's Public Health 2022 conference, which they talked a lot about healthy neighborhoods, safe cities, and also about the COVID-19 pandemic response. These are things that I do already. These are things that I will continue doing. I have a very curious mind and I love learning, but you do need to ask the good questions to get the right answers so that you can make an evidence-based decision.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
One of the things that I have discussed with other people while I was going around and talking about the issues in Hamilton. One thing that's been brought up and I don't think has been discussed enough is darts. They offer a fabulous service in the city of Hamilton. It's so important and it's so needed. But there are a few things that could be improved upon from the perspective of the rider, the user. So for example, they have to call in and state their number. Right. So now they are a number, which they know the names. And that's the thing, is that a lot of the times the drivers actually do know the users. They know them very well. They know their habits. They know where they like to go, what they like. But just making sure that we have a more personable experience with a little bit more flexibility, because it's also a very inflexible system. Whereas when it first started, it probably made sense. But now we know from rideshare services like Lyft and Uber that there are different ways of doing it. So that's one thing. Another thing that I think we could definitely look after for city services would be our wastewater management. In the city of Hamilton, and particularly in Ward 4, we have some issues with flooding because, especially in the Rosedale area, there's a history of flooding. So simple things such as nature-based solutions by having curb cuts so that when the water runs down, it can then go into a bioswale instead of flooding or stormwater management and then ending up directly into Lake Ontario, because it does make its way to the Woodward plant. But then once they're flooded, they have to empty some of that water into the lake. So using bioswales, nature-based solutions, these are two things we could do to improve the city services.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
The first thing I'm definitely going to suggest is the 15-minute city, and I think that can be done in Ward 4. The other is more the urban forest strategy, which was brought forward years ago. It was brought forward in 2018, I believe, and I participated in the process. And then during the pandemic, it kind of died down. But improving our tree canopy in Ward 4, improving our tree canopy in the city of Hamilton, increasing it to be about 30% of the city, I believe, was our goal. I think that would make a huge difference in the quality of life, because that would address heat islands. And heat islands are very important to the quality of life for older people or people who have low income who can't afford to use the air conditioner overnight. It keeps the land cooler. It also looks better, increases biodiversity.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
Pascal Marchand, integrity, dependability, progress. City of Hamilton, efficiency, accountability, inclusivity.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
I'm very motivated to run for Ward 4. I'm very excited. I'm also very excited at the large number of candidates that are running for Ward 4 and also throughout the city. It's very empowering to see the variety of people that are willing to be engaged in making this a better city and trying to bring in their own perspectives. I think there's definitely going to be a lot of change in city council this year. There's no denying it. It's going to happen. And I have a lot of hope in me that it's going to be for the better.
Thank you. How do people find out more about your platform and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I am available at pascalward4.ca online. I'm also pascalward4 on all the social media platforms. And I'm also available. Once you go on those websites, you'll see my phone number, you'll see my email address. And I have been trying to get back to people as quickly as possible. And I've had some really interesting conversations with people.
This has been episode 114 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of The Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the press club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.